you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. We're going to look at it all and then one verse. Allison, doing something up here. A little feedback. Psalm 122. It's a great psalm, by the way. It fits perfect. In fact, God put it on my heart because this is the first time in 2 months that we've been in God's house. The Bible says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces, for the sake of my brethren and companions. I will not say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. The title of this message is The Place That God That Makes David Glad. The Place That Makes David Glad. And David writes in verse 1 of Psalm 21:22, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Yeah. I want everybody to look at it for a second. Are you glad to be here?
Amen.
What a blessing it is. Some of you, I'm looking around because if you weren't here Wednesday night, this is the first time I've been able to see you without looking at you through a windshield. And some of you didn't see because you had tinted windshields. And I think some of you had your seats laid back. And I heard some snoring, I think. But it is a joy to see your faces. And most of you are smiling, which is a good thing. David said, I was glad when they said, let's go to my house of the Lord. Been thinking about that all week. Looking forward to today to meet with you guys in the house of God. I don't know about you, man, I have missed you. I miss being with you. I just miss the fellowship that we have. Sometimes, you know, we hear some old jokes here, and when we have heard them in the past, they're just Don jokes. We don't always appreciate them. But then, Don, for 2 months when we've been separated, I kind of missed your old jokes. Until this morning when you talk about those jokes. Aren't you glad for each other? David wrote, and I hope that we can say in Psalm 84:10, for a day in the courts of God's house better than 1,000 days. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. It's a joy, it's a privilege even to be a doorkeeper of God's house. Oh, we have some that do less than desirable jobs at church, and they do it with a good attitude, and they're willing to do anything and everything. And some of the jobs that you and I wouldn't want to do, but I'd rather be that old doorkeeper. Well, what I'm thinking, I probably might say, but it has something to do with the white thrones and the room back there. I'd rather clean those in the Lord's house than have a bank full of money and all pleasures of life. I can't think of anything better than being right here with you guys. This moment is so special to be together. The Bible says that Jesus placed a huge value in going to the temple, going to the church that were back then. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 tells us that Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom, that's what I want you to hear, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue to teach and to read. So it was God's custom to go to the house of God. And then the Bible says the people also had the same custom in Luke chapter 24, verses 52 and 53, and they worshiped him. People worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And the Bible says they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. continually, they went to the house of God. And then their hearts were glad. And then in Acts 2, verses 46 and 47, we see that the church was started, and it was given the same custom. The Bible says, and they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and later on it would be the church, and breaking bread from house to house, did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord had added to the church daily as those should be saved. So this is the place that ought to make us glad. Now think about that for a second. This is God's house. This is God's presence. And I know that many of you have experienced pretty trying things in the last several months, which ought to make it that much better to come in God's house. I know that some of you have struggled with health issues. Some of you have had to stay home when you're used to going out. And all that stuff, whatever we've been going through, I believe in my heart that God has drawn us closer to Him. And that this is His house. And He's drawing us to His house. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you, God, for that. So we're going to take time, we did this in the first service, we're going to do it today in this service as well. We're going to take time to take some testimonies of what God's house means to you. Have you got a special memory, Steve?
The very first Sunday, the very first Sunday we visited here was the very first Sunday you guys had morning service in this building. So we know nothing but this building. We've had the joy of seeing our own children accept the Lord. We've had a good bunch of other children raised up through this church and a lot of different people know the Lord. They know nothing but this church building. Yeah. It's the only thing they've ever experienced. And so it's a safe, perfect place for Christ to meet them.
Yes.
And the people here are back to church and ask for the Lord and praise for
I've been knowing Steve for 15 years now.
Seems like a lot.
Seems like a lot longer. We've grown as a family. And that's what church is. It's a family. Anybody else? No? There you go.
First time I stepped foot in this sanctuary was actually when we were living up in Louisville. We were invited to the dedication of the sanctuary. And so we came down to visit. Who knew so many years later that this church would be a big influence on my family. All four of my children were baptized by their daddy back here, not military. Kathy's dad, and just been a blessing to me, and I've grown so much
I have a memory about Steve, too. The Steves, man, they're just rough. I think I was the first one to visit you as you were thinking about joining our church. So I went over to Steve's house. At the time, we had Haley and Hannah. I don't think any of those, maybe. I don't think so. So Steve was late as usual. He wasn't. I think you were downstairs messing around what you were doing. But Hannah and Haley started telling me about Steve. And I was praying, oh Lord, bring Steve up real fast. And they were right. That'd be This is what we do when we come to God's house. We share, we encourage, we love each other. Sometimes we cry with each other, we pray for each other. Well, Mikey, I just saw you. Mikey's here for the first time. He'd been admitted to the hospital having skin grafts. He had his upper part of his body and part of his face burned. So we're very glad you're here.
Amen.
Well, yeah.
Be honest with yourself. How many cards did you send somebody?
within our own church. We will encourage you. I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. How many prayers did you pray for somebody by name? I'm not talking about generic prayer. Bless them, Lord. Help everybody just to be taken care of. I'm talking about praying for each other by name. That implies that we know their names. As we pray for each other by name, realize that on Wednesday nights we meet every Wednesday night and we pray for each other. And you take those names home with you and pray for them by name to God until they get well. Bring yourself to God's house with a glad heart, looking forward to meeting each other every single Sunday we meet. I'm well aware that some people we like better than others, but they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look forward to being with them. Can I be personal and honest with you? You know, sometimes, you probably don't believe this, but sometimes people get mad at the preacher. Can you imagine that? Sometimes they eat my lunch. They do you the same way sometimes. But I'm asking us to look forward to seeing everybody on any given Sunday, including those people that have ate our lunch, those people that have got mad at us, taking us down the road to harm our feelings. I've come to realize that sometimes when they're mad, they're not necessarily mad at me, they're just mad. They need to voice it out. So I'm praying, Lord, help me to be a listener. And if they jump all up, okay. Not quite there yet. I'm working on it. But realize that they're seeing your brothers and sisters. David was looking forward with gladness in his heart to be in God's house, and God's house is made up of different people, different personalities, right? Look forward to being here with each other. Don't let us take each other for granted. One of the things that I was very glad about coming back was the idea of flipping back and forth in my Bible. So the second thing that you ought to be bringing to church is, guess what? Yeah, your Bible. I was a sheriff with Rhonda. Some of you don't know Rhonda, she's my wife. Some of you know her real well. You know the secrets of the family. But I was sharing with her about the Bible. She says, well, everybody brings a Bible. I said, no, they don't. A lot of people don't bring their Bibles to church. Sometimes you bring your phones and you use your phone for the Bible. Sometimes you use these pads. I forget what they're called. I don't really care what they're called. You just bring them. I got one. I might use it, but not up here. Preachers have gone to not using this, but they're using their iPads and all that kind of peepods and stuff. But I enjoy flipping back and forth. You can't flip back and forth if you don't have a Bible. You can't study your Bible if you can't have it in your hand. You can look at your phone, but that's not like the Bible. So bring your Bible, and let me share with you some verses about the Bible. If you want to turn to 2 Timothy, see, we're flipping. I love to flip to the Bible. I was not able to do this for two months, so we're going to do it a lot. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the word of truth, by the way. This is the Bible. So bring it and divide it. In other words, understand it, study it, meditate on it, so that you can explain it to other people. That's what this thing's for. And as you're looking at that verse, it might tell you to go back to Matthew, it might tell you to go to Obadiah or someplace like that. Flip it. See where it takes you. Enjoy the journey in the Bible. the most precious thing you have in your possession, by the way. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is the living word of God. This is God. This is His word, His thoughts written to us. And you can make it more personal than that. This has been written to me. And you can say the same thing. I read this as if God is just speaking to me. And then sometimes He speaks to my heart and says, this is for others too, Jerry. Does God ever speak to you like that? As you delve into the living Word of God, I promise you that He will speak to you. It might not be in your ear, but it will be in your heart. Thank you, God, for that, too. Run over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I'm telling you how precious this is by this verse. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is the greatest thing we have, the living Word, the living God, right here between these two end things, these little covers. And as you have the living Word, the living God, the living Jesus, that is more precious than anything that you have, whether you have a gazillion dollars in the bank or you got $10 in the bank, but if you got 5 kids or 0 kids, this is more precious than anything that you have because this is the living Word of God. And Jesus says, I am the Word.
Amen.
This is God living. And good gracious, that is the best, most precious thing the preacher owns. This is more precious than my wife. More precious than my children, more precious than anything. That's the living Word of God. You know, I used to be a Gideon before I was a preacher. And we'd pass these things out to people who didn't have a Bible. Sometimes we'd go to the hotel rooms and put them in the drawers, the dresser drawers, sometimes the nightstands inside the bed. We always make sure at the hotel with us to make sure there were the Bibles in the drawers. And I cannot, I don't know how many, but I know of many people that went to different hotels, different people went to different hotels to commit suicide. And they were so distressed and so depressed that they didn't know what to do. They had just given up on life. Going to take their own life. And we have, when I was a kid, we had people write us these testimonials, these letters, thanking us for putting those Bibles in the hotel rooms. And some of them would say those drawers would shake. Now you know a drawer doesn't shake by itself. But it would do that kind of stuff. If they were trying to commit suicide, that drawer would be shaking. And they'd open it up, and guess what was in it? The living Word of God. And in the back of it, it had a way to get saved. They would read things, the instructions of the Gideon Bible, and then they'd have the Roman road in the back, and they'd read through all the sin and fall short of the glory of God. And at the end, call on the name of the Lord. And if you do, you shall be saved. And have a place to write your name. They would call us and say, we stole your Bible because we put our name in it and we kept it. Well, they didn't steal it. It was a gift to them. The living Word of God. How important is it to you? The third thing to bring to church, not only yourself and your Bible, but bring your children. Bring your children to church. You cannot do Ephesians 4 and 6 or 6 and 4 without bringing your children to church. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's what we do here. We bring your children here, and we teach them about Jesus. We teach them how to live. We teach them the right way, the wrong way. We teach them God's way versus the wrong way. You cannot teach your children without bringing them to God's house. Because Hebrews 10 and 25 tells us, do not forsake the assembly of the gathering of us, the church, together. So as you teach your children, if you try to teach them at home, guess what you've already done? If you're not bringing them to church, you've already broke the word of God. And not bringing them here. Do not forsake the assembly of our church family. You cannot teach them the word of God without that. So I want to share just real quick other things that we need to bring to church. This is all based on Scripture. The Bible says we are to bring our tithes to the house of God. Malachi 3:10. Bring your tithe to the Lord. 10% of your income. The first 10% is God's. Bring it. The Bible says bring your burdens to the house of God. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Lay your burdens at the foot of the cross. Give them to Jesus. That's what we do here at church. We have an invitation. We have an altar call so that if you have a burden you can't hardly handle, bring it to God and lay it there. He can take care of it. That's what church is all about. We are to bring the lost to church. Let me repeat that. Bring the lost to church. And how do you do that? You go out of the byways and the highways. And you shake the hedges out there. There's lost people throughout this whole world. There's lost people right across the street. Bring them into the house of God. You know, we always say, come, come, come. Well, Jesus says, go, 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 and bring them here. You bring your hopes and your visions to church to share with each other. It blesses our hearts to hear your godly hopes. Some of you have shared with me, as you grow in the Lord, the things that God has put on your heart to do a little bit better, to serve Him a little bit more, and you come to me, what can I do to grow? What can I do to serve God? Bring your hopes to us, your visions of your Christian walk, and let us rejoice with you, let us pray for you as you go through that. Bring your fellowship to the house of God. You've got to be here to do that. The fellowship is loving each other, eating with each other, caring for each other. Have a listening ear with each other. Bring your fellowship to the house of God. Real quick, bring your joy to the house of God. Man, it just blesses me to be up here and to see you guys smile. Because you can't hardly smile without joy in your heart. Well, that's what I see, Mike, a lot of times with frowns. Bring your joy, and your joy is catching. We feed off your joy. There's sometimes that I get here and I'm the preacher and I'm not quite joyous. And as soon as I get here, there'll be somebody uplifted because they've had a joyous week. Bring your joys to church. Let us share in your joy. It encourages us. It just helps our whole week to go by different. Bring your excitement to church. Oh, man. Be excited. God's always working. God has ministries going on here all the time. Every church, if it's a godly church, has a ministry. Be excited about God's work, about His Word, about everything about Him. Bring your gladness to the church. You're glad, we're glad. I guess just the opposite. When you're sad, we ought to be sad. Bring your gladness. Bring the right attitude. We practiced our right attitude. I don't know where I did my mask. The deacons and I practiced how to wear this because we realized if our attitude stunk, your attitude would stink. So the first service, we all wore it. We were sure glad that our mouth was hid. Because we said, show your smile through your mask. Well, you can't do that. And some of us weren't smiling because we got hot. We had the right attitude. We were going to do, you know, some of them have their mask on now. They're very grateful that you guys didn't wear your mask. But we're going to do it for the first group. And if you wear a mask now, like us not wearing, well, we sure must be the first group because they're all wore masks. We don't want anybody to go away hurt or mad. We're going to do what we can. So bring the right attitude, bring your testimony. How you got saved, or what God's done for you, and be willing to verbalize it. Tell others. Bring your expectations and your anticipations. You know, Charles Spurgeon once said, he was talking to a preacher that had been preaching just for a short time, and nobody came up forward for the invitations. The young man had been preaching that for a year. Nobody responded at the invitation time, and Spurgeon said this to that young man. He said, well, you didn't expect everybody to come forward every week, did you? And the guy looked up and said, yeah, I guess I did. And boy, Spurgeon slapped him in the face with his finger. That's what's wrong. You didn't expect it. Bring your expectations to church. Well, if you pray for somebody by name and pray for their salvation, God will hear that prayer, and there's a good chance God will spark their heart when they get here and do something for them. Bring your desires and your intentions to fill the presence of God with, I just want to be here so I can feel God. I know for a fact. There was one lady shaking her head like this first service when I said that because she wants to feel the presence of God. She's told me every time she comes, she needs to feel the presence of God. So anticipate it. He's here. Bring that into your desire to feel the presence of God. The Bible tells us Jesus is the light of the world, so come to his light. He's here. Come to his cross. Look at the cross up there. He died on the cross for you. Come to worship the Almighty, King of kings, Lord of lords, my God, my Savior, your God, your Savior. Come to worship him. Come with an attitude that Jesus may come back at this very moment. He may rapture the church at the very second. I want to tell you why I say that. There are people that doubt that Jesus is coming back at all. And some of the churches bicker about the time. We got plenty of time. There's not enough signs. Well, Jesus isn't bound by our thinking. Jesus knows exactly the time. And it could be this very second. And I hope that you're ready if it is this very second. And I'll tell you how I know that. Revelation chapter 22, there's three verses. Now listen to these verses, and you tell me the key word in these verses. 22, verse 7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy in this book. Verse 12, 22 and 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. And then verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Did you notice a recurring theme in three verses? I am coming quickly. That can mean 1 second from now. If he were to come 1 second from now, That one second, those that belong to him are being beaten in the mirror. But if you're not ready, then you're going to be left behind. So come anticipating that he could come this very second. Come with the heart that says, Lord, I know that you can come, and I want to be confessed up. I want to be doing the things that you want me to be. Back when, before I was a deacon even, I just started going back to church, and God got hold of my heart. Man, he didn't get hold of my heart. He showed me the sin in my life, and the way I was living that was not, it was not in agreement with his word at all. But I had some godly men surrounding me, teaching me about God's word, but I was learning how to pray. And I still hadn't gotten that praying thing down. I didn't like to pray in front of people at all. I sure would have got up here and talked to you guys like I am now. I didn't want anything to do with a crowd. So I was learning how to pray. In my Sunday school class, my teacher, I could have killed him for this, he asked me to close the class in prayer. First time I ever prayed in front of people. Paul Bunker, he's a pastor, you know Paul. He was my Sunday school teacher and I became his deacon. Jerry, would you pray for us and close us? And boy, my knees were shaking even though I was sitting down. I know I sweated again right at that very second. So here's how I prayed. I said a few things. And Lord, if you come back today, please don't let me be doing anything stupid. That was my prayer. I remember it to this day. But it was from my heart. I know it wasn't a King James prayer. It wasn't one of those big old words. But I meant it. If he came out that very second, I didn't want to be doing something stupid, something sinful. I didn't even know to say sinful at the time. Are you ready for Jesus to come back at this very moment? I know you guys don't do anything stupid. But what about sinful? Are you ready? Are you confessed up? That fast. You can have it. Let's bow our heads together. Father Almighty, we love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your watch care and taking care of our needs. And Father, during this time of this coronavirus going around, thank you for protecting us. We ask that you continue to protect us from it. We ask, Lord, that you would provide our needs for those who are without jobs, without income. We ask, Lord, that you be with our families and give them an extra dose of love and patience. Most of all, Lord, we pray for salvation. Pray, Lord, that if there's any matter for us, for Jesus and your Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they gave your life to you. Lord, please, please don't let us leave without knowing Jesus as our Lord. And if you were to come back this very moment, even during this prayer, help us all to be ready to meet you in the air, as the Bible says. God, we love you and praise you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.